If you would, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And just kind of to preface the message here as we get to that while you're turning there, I think it was Wednesday night before last, if you'll recall, the pastor introduced in that of his message some subject matter of doing the right thing, but in the wrong way. How many remembers him bringing that out? But as we look at this, he was illustrating a story from that of 2 Samuel chapter 6 of David in that of the moving of the Ark of the Covenant from one place to another, but doing so, it was being done contrary to the prescribed manner that God had ordered or he had ordained, which ultimately resulted in the death of Uzzah, his servant, by him laying hold on the ark there to steady it. And it was right to move it, as Pastor Van Noy brought out, and he was doing the right thing, but he was doing it in the wrong way. And immediately I was reminded of another king, and that is King Amaziah, who shared some like similarities as to that of King David regarding right and wrong ways of doing in the Lord's service. But with King Amaziah's story, he had some different little twists to it. But still yet having that which would well serve and benefit us even in this day. And we're going to look at that tonight. And I'm going to ask you to please stand as we'll give reverence to the reading of God's Word, looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 25, beginning with verse number 1. Everybody there say amen. Amen. And the Bible says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now I want you to notice what it says here again, that he did right, or he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. In other words, not with a full heart, not with a complete heart, and not with a just heart did he do service unto the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee, God, that You've allowed us this opportunity, Lord, to come and stand. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that You just give us utterance of lips, Lord, to that which needs to be proclaimed here tonight in the message. And God, may You stir our hearts. And Lord, may we search the reins of our hearts to know, Lord, that which You would have for this Thy servants. Not only me, Lord, but each and every one here in attendance tonight, because we are the servants of the Most High. So Lord, may You just move in our midst. Dear God, lay upon my heart that which needs to be said. And Father, we'll thank You and we'll praise You, Lord. We'll love You for it all. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen to the reading of His Word. Thank you, and you may be seated. As we look here of what has been said in 2 Chronicles 25, we see again that this Amaziah, King Amaziah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And in doing that which is right in the sight of God, one can still perform such, having an imperfect heart. Now, I want to take this condition and illustrate it to you in a different ways or in different ways or manner of that of responsiveness, of that of the individual's intents and their motives as well as their purposes. Beloved, as we've gathered here tonight, we can use it in these terms. Now, the wife had came and played the piano. The song leader had come and led the music. And beloved, that is right in the sight of the Lord in that we've come to the house of God and we are to worship Him in that of song and fellowship and also the ministering of His Word. So it's right in the sight of the Lord that you would come and play the music instruments and that you would sing and that you would lift up your voices and your spirit unto that one who is so worthy as we've come to worship here tonight, our Lord and Savior. And beloved, in doing that, we must remember that in doing those things which are right in the sight of the Lord, even in the ministering of His Word, even each and every one who labors here for the cause of Christ, whether you're teaching a Sunday school class, or whether you're running the band ministry, or whether you do the custodial work around here, or you moderate the services, you sing in the choir, special services, it makes no difference, beloved, what we have applied ourselves to do in the service of the Lord. We need to always to remember that we must do it with a perfect heart. And what I'm trying to get to in this point is, if I come to stand in this pulpit and preach the Word of God, and I'm doing it for so as to get the applause of men and to seek the recognition of men and to gain the popularity and the prestige and the pomp and all the rest that goes with it, beloved, I am doing that still, which is right in the sight of the Lord, by ministering the Word of God. But listen, I'm not doing it with a perfect heart. Amen. Beloved, if I'm seeking anything of myself, beloved, and that not to honor and glorify God, beloved, my heart is imperfect, and I've got a condition that needs to be rectified in that within myself. So I'm trying to make this statement, beloved. We can do that which is right in the sight of the Lord in the things that we perform in the service of God, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, on the mission field, wherever it may be, beloved. But still yet, we can do these things with an imperfect heart. And I'm sad to say that so many church people in this day and time, and I have seen it from church to church to church, where people want the recognition of themselves. And can I remind you tonight that God says, I will share my glory with no man. And the Bible also says, as the Apostle Paul says, in that him that glorieth, let him glory in God. So everything, beloved, that you and I have to do, in that of our calling and the responsibilities that God has given unto us, we need to do it with a perfect heart, simply, beloved, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ in each and everything of our endeavors. And as we look at this, we're going to see some things that we really need to take heed to. And we can see the things that if we would look, I would stand amiss if I didn't point these things out to you to see how the fall of someone can occur in that, my friends, of not having a perfect heart. Again, we look over into that text, in that of verse number 2. It says, beloved, again, now keep this in mind and in heart. He says, that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now, if we go back and we look down on through the verse text, we see here in verse number 3 that we can see some right things that Amaziah has done. In fact, we're going to look at three things that he did which was right in the sight of the Lord, but we're going to find out due to his imperfection of heart, beloved, that ultimately it's going to bring him to his fall, to his demise. Now, if we look here in verse number 3, the Bible says, now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. Now, his father's name was Joash. Now, there was another king that we'll see in the text who was the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, which was the name Joash. But here we have the southern kingdom of which Amaziah has taken the reign from that succeeding his father. And that is the southern kingdom, which comprised of that of the tribe of Judah and also the tribe of Benjamin. So as we see this, we see in verse number 3 that his father had been killed by that of the servants. Now, there's a story behind that, and we don't have time to get into it tonight. But the thing was that he had killed Zechariah, or he was instrumental in the death of that of Zechariah, who was a priest or a prophet of the Lord, and that he was the son of Jehoiada. And there, my friends, there was a close relationship between King Joash and that through that of his son being a prophet, being that of the priest of the Lord, in that of the service of the Lord, there were some things that had gone on here, and ultimately King Joash was involved in that of the murder or the death of that of God's prophet. But that being said, it was taken upon the servants of the ones there that was under Joash that they would come in and murder the king, Joash the king. But with that being said, it was not their privilege, it was not the command, it was not the instrument of God for them to take vengeance upon themselves, because it was up to the Lord, and the Lord had a prescribed time and a place that He was going to render judgment on Joash in Himself. And it's not for us to take vengeance, because God says what? Vengeance is mine. I will recompense. So, beloved, they took it upon their own to do something that was not in the will of God to do at the time it was done. So, in that being said, we see that Amaziah had every right, beloved, to do that which he did, and it was right in the sight of the Lord, because he killed that one himself. And that being said, beloved, we need to understand that that was right in the sight of the Lord in that which he done, even though the circumstances, beloved, were not the best of circumstances. But then we see beyond that in verse number 4, we see the second right that Amaziah has done. The Bible says in verse 4, "But he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, The father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin." Can I remind you tonight that God is not a respecter of persons? And each and every one, beloved, will have to stand on their own account. Listen, I don't stand for my son's account, my daughter's account, neither did I stand for my father and my mother. Each and every individual, beloved, has to stand for their own sins. And not only that, my friends, anything else, we are responsible in that within ourselves. But that being said, too, it's just like so many people think because they've got a godly grandmother or a godly grandfather or a godly mother that that's going to be sufficient to get them to heaven. Beloved, as you know and well know, unless we have a personal relationship with God through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, there is no avenue to heaven for any of us. So it's not on our family's merits. It's on, beloved, our own personal merits and that of our relationship with God. But then we see something else also. Now here's the third thing that Amaziah has done right. Whereas it says, "Moreover," in verse 5, "Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin, and he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield." Beloved, here is that which is being done, not only the things of the avenging of his father's death, and not only, my friends, of upholding the Mosaic law, and when I say the Mosaic law, we're talking about the law of God, but at any rate, we're looking at the third thing now in which he is doing right, in that he is gathering an army, a force, beloved, to fight the enemies. And the enemies, my friends, is the heathenistic Edomites that are enemies of God. And beloved, he is right in doing what he is doing. Now when we look at this story, and as we look at all of the right that we have seen out of King Amaziah at this time, we could simply say within ourselves, well, preacher, all's well that ends well. This looks like a fabulous ending. But the saying goes, but not for King Amaziah and Judah, beloved, in this situation. Now we're going to see the spiral going downhill for this of this king. But it says in verse 6, "He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver." Now I understand that's a little bit in excess of about of $500,000 in that of today's money market and so on and so forth. But these were mercenary soldiers from that of Israel. Now, God was displeased with Israel at this time. God did not want Judah going into Israel and there accommodating and employing people or the soldiers of Israel out to help them to fight this battle. Beloved, I have to think 300,000 men would be sufficient for that to do battle with the enemies that God had set before him. Remember, beloved, it's Almighty God that fights our battles for us anyhow. He goes before us in any and every engagement that you and I may have, beloved. He's always there present. He's always going ahead. So now we can see the imperfect heart of Amaziah being shown through in that of his actions, because God did not want Israel involved in the warfare that they were undertaking at this time. So here he did wrong in that of employing this army. And beloved, listen, the warning was issued now by the man of God. Now, the Lord sees what is going on, what's transpiring, and then God sends his servant, his man, the prophet, beloved, unto these people. And there we see another story unveiling that's surely going to make things worse upon top of worse. We look here in verse number 7, and it says, "But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down." Beloved, God has power to lift up. He has power to cast down, beloved. And when we walk outside of that of walking with him, beloved, we're subjecting ourselves to a great fall. And beloved, as we look here on further, it says, "And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, and I love this answer, beloved. It's an answer we ought to hold near and dear to our hearts. "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." What he's simply saying to Amaziah, just go ahead and cut your losses. Don't you worry about the monetary things, because, my friends, listen, having a relationship and the fellowship with God is more important than anything of monetary value. Here he was worried about the money. Listen, beloved, God was worried about his integrity and that of his imperfect heart. And let me say this to you, beloved, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, listen, Amaziah, there's coming a payday someday for you. Listen, beloved, we can go out and we can commit to sin, but if the sin is grievous as it is, beloved, we will still have to pay the penalty. We still have to pay the price. Yes, God will forgive us, and God will bring us back in, beloved, but those things which we have committed, where there's a penalty to it, God will let us go and suffer the penalties of these things. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. Wherefore, their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in that of great anger. Listen, Amaziah's wrong ways is going to cost him. It's going to cost him, and we're going to find out that the price is dear, beloved. Just like for you and I, beloved, when we stray away from God and we start to do things the wrong way and also doing it with an imperfect heart, beloved, listen, there's going to be repercussions that is brought down on each and every one who does so. But then as we look here, beloved, the things are still not well. There's still problems, and there's still difficulties for that of disobedience. We look over here in verse number 13, where the Word of God says, "But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah and Samaria, even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil." Hey, listen, it's not getting any better for King Amaziah. Beloved, I'm trying to say to you tonight, if we can get on that slippery slope and we start falling, beloved, let me say this to you, we're going to keep falling, we're going to keep falling, beloved, if we're out of the will of God and we're not in the will of God. Hey, listen what he says on through this. And beloved, nothing is ended well for Amaziah and that of his imperfect heart. And beloved, ultimately this is going to take him to his doom and destruction. I look over again here in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass, after Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them."
Beloved, I'm going to tell you something, praise God, when we stray outside of the true and living God, when we take our idols in hand and our little idols becomes more important than Him, beloved, let me say, beloved, we are on a path to destruction. Beloved, and you say, well, this couldn't happen in this day and time. Beloved, I'm trying to say to you tonight, if you've got a mansion sitting on a hill, that can be your God. Hey, listen, if you've got a nice automobile in your driveway, that could be your God. If you've got a big bank account, beloved, that could be your God. If you could have a great education, and beloved, that could be your God. Hey, listen, your family could be your God. And you yourself, even looking in the mirror, could be your God. Beloved, we can't put anything before Him, because beside Him there is none else. Here we can see what the man Amaziah has done. He went in and he ravaged the cities there of the Edomites, and there he took the spoil, and in that spoil was all their little gods. And now he says, I will put these up and I will worship these gods. Hey, listen, he was in a full-blown state of apostasy this time, because he had departed from the true faith in that of Jehovah God. And he's headed for the destruction. Oh, listen, beloved. And there he burned incense to them. Wherefore, in verse 15, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet. Oh, my friends, I'm going to tell you, it's getting bad. God done sent one prophet to him. After he's done killed a prophet, his father's done killed a prophet of God, and now God is sending another prophet unto him, and he sent unto him a prophet which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people of thine hand? Beloved, I want you to think on that. Here these people, beloved, have fell in defeat to that of Judah, and there he has seized their little gods out of their possession, and now he's wanting to worship the gods that would not deliver the enemy that he had defeated. Outside of God and His providential safe care for us, beloved, there is no protection, there is no safety, there is no guarding of that and that of ourselves. Oh, listen, my friends, there's a lesson to be learned from all of this. And we're seeing that this worse is going to worse for the man with an imperfect heart. Not only did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and not only did he do wrong which was in the sight of the Lord, beloved, he had an imperfect heart that was stirring and moving in that of his wrong. I'm reminded, beloved, of another king when I look on this and I think about this. You remember King Solomon? You can go to it and read the Scriptures and study the Scriptures for yourself. But you know, a very similar thing happened to King Solomon. And if you'll remember, my friends, it was this man who had prayed unto God for that of wisdom. Wisdom that he may lead his people and govern his people and to serve his people while he was serving Jehovah God. But that, my friends, we find out in Solomon, he had a weakness. And that weakness, beloved, we see in the culmination of the Scriptures, that was to that of strange women, the Bible says. And beloved, it was those strange women that he had brought into himself, and those, my friends, that he had habitated with, that turned his heart away from God unto strange gods, and to gods, my friends, that also angered the Lord, beloved, that of which Solomon was doing. Beloved, let me say this to you. Well, we got to be very careful. We got to safeguard our testimony. We got to safeguard our witness. We got to safeguard, beloved, the things that we expose ourselves to and the things that we get around and the company we keep and all of the rest of it, beloved. We've got to safeguard these things in that for which is of need. And as worse has turned to worse, it even gets more worse than that for the man with an imperfect heart. In the latter verses, beloved, as I'm reading here, we can see in verse 19 the boastfulness and the pride of that of Amaziah. He says unto us in verse 19, thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifted thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine heart that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee. Here, my friends, as he has defeated the foe, he lifts up himself in pride. He wants the recognition, beloved. He wants that pomp. He wants that prestige. He wants the applause of all of those that are around him. But, beloved, God's not going to grant it. God's not going to let this come about, beloved. And I'm reminded of what the Scripture says in that regard, beloved. He says that pride goeth before a destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Hey, listen, pride had taken this man. Pride had taken his heart and remolded it, beloved, in that of an imperfect heart, that he was not of any useful purpose or service unto God. And this ultimately brings that of demise and destruction to Amaziah and also the southern kingdom, that of Judah by the northern kingdom. We can see the story, beloved, as it unfolds unto us in this regard. It says, but Amaziah would not hear, as Joash of Israel had told him. And Amaziah, he turned a deaf ear to God. It says, for it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. Did you see what is being said here, and the warning and that of his doom and destruction that's been sent unto him, beloved? It says again, let me read these words. Pay close attention. Thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifted thee up to boast. Abide now at home. In other words, you better stay on your home front and not venture back out, and especially against us. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt? Listen, if you come on to us, if you engage us, if you confront us, you're going to do hurt to yourself, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee. Amaziah, you're going to take the nation Judah down with you. But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God that he might deliver them in the hands of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. Beloved, let me say this to you. It's been made plain and it's been made clear. And beloved, can I say this to you tonight, and even to this preacher tonight, beloved? It's been made plain unto us, beloved, that if we step out of the will of God, if we step out of the ways of God, if we step out of the path that he has set before us, beloved, we are in endangerment of that of falling to the enemy. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face. Here they are, beloved, having the great stare down with one another, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, of Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. Hey, listen, beloved, the world of hurt, as we would put it, came down on Judah. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, and Beth Shemesh, and brought them to Jerusalem, and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. It just seems like it keeps getting worse, doesn't it? It just keeps falling more down upon his head. And then ultimately we can see what happens here in our text. And there in verse 27 and 28, the Bible says, now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord. Did you catch that, beloved? From the time he turned away from following the Lord, that he made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there, and brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Oh, my friends, it's been illustrated here tonight for that of our learning and that for our understanding, beloved, and that for counsel to us as the people of God, that we can do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, but also, beloved, do it the wrong way and then do it with an imperfect heart. It would be well, I believe, for all of us here tonight to remember some of the old adages that we so often use. Have you heard the one, two wrongs don't make a right? Well, here they did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but they did it the wrong way, and they did it with an imperfect heart. There's your two wrongs. And the two wrongs does not justify that which was doing right in the sight of the Lord. That's not the only one that we can apply to this. We can also say, in addition with God, the old saying, the end justifies the means. Do you believe that the end justifies the means? No. No. Because as we can see from this story, Amaziah went and conquered, defeated the Edomites. But he didn't do it God's way. That was the means. Now he accomplished what God had ordained and set forth for him to do. He conquered the enemy. That was right in the sight of the Lord. But he did not go about it God's way, doing it the wrong way. And we find out why. He had an imperfect heart. And once that old imperfect heart is exposed, beloved, it's a downhill trot. You keep falling and falling and falling. He had turned from the Lord, and nothing in Scripture, beloved, no indications, no guidance, no direction was ever set for him to do what? To repent and return unto the Lord. I can't help but believe in reading this particular story that his downfall was because of his pride. Read it for yourself. His pride, esteeming, exalting, exhorting himself, got the best of him. So the lesson for all of us in here tonight, beloved, as I'm trying to give this to you, and Brother Benoy, when he brought out the fact of that of David and Uzza and that of the moving of the Ark of the Covenant, it was right to do what they were doing, but they did it the wrong way. Beloved, that is the mainstay course action that we need to regard. But beloved, in anything and everything and all things that we do unto the Lord, it needs to be with a perfect heart. Brother, when you come up here and lead the music, you sing to the glory of God. Sunday school teachers, when you stand behind that podium and teach a Sunday school class, you do it to the glory of God. Brother Steve, when you stand up here and you preach and you moderate the services and everything, it's not to bring recognition to Steve. Everything we do, hey, listen, listen, beloved, even if you're making announcements, each and everything and the way that we behave ourselves in the house of God ought to bring glory unto Him. Because, beloved, we are His representatives. We are the children of God. Hey, listen, beloved, He has entrusted us with His work. He is watching us. His hand is upon us, beloved. And dare say, listen, there should not be any of us at any time feel proud within ourselves. Because let me say to you, I am an unworthy. I am an unworthy servant of my Lord. We all are. And what a privilege it is to serve. Beloved, it doesn't matter if you're sitting in a pew and you're faithful to that pew Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you're sitting there and there's a preacher or the pastor is preaching the message and delivering to you what God wants you to have. Beloved, if you sit there and say, Lord, help him. Lord, please help him. God, may you embrace him with an arm of love. Lord, may your hand be upon him, Lord, as he's preaching it to us. And praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Thank you, Lord, for the man of God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. That little old church I'm preaching over at Long's Bend, they got a preacher that sits there on the front pew. And all I hear from him throughout the service as I'm preaching is, help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, praise God. I can feel it instilled within me. Beloved, it's not about us. It's about Him and all that we do. If I got what I deserve tonight, I'd be in hell. And so would all of us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Thy messenger, the sweet Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank You that for what You've done for us here tonight, Lord, and that You've reacquainted us with some of the things, Lord, that we need to be very cautious and safeguard ourselves from, Lord. And Father, that we never see ourselves as high and lifted up in anything or any manner or any position or any work, Lord, that we undertake. But Lord, it's by Thy strength and Thy might, Lord, that You privileged us to be Thy servants. Help us, Lord, that each and everything we say, everything we do, always, Lord, brings honor and glory to You. Just to lift up the name of Jesus, Lord, oh, what a blessing and privilege it is, my Father. So, Lord, I pray for this church and each and every one, Lord, who labors for Thy cause here, God, that You'd move. Help them, Lord. Keep Your hand upon them, Lord. Lord, help them to discern spiritual things with spiritual rightly, Lord. Dividing the truth in the Word of God, Lord. Pray, Father, that You'd help. God, may You surely bless him, be with him, in all that they do to endeavor for Thy cause. And, Father, we'll thank You and we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.